Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Recapping last week, three baptisms. We talked about there's three. There's a baptism into the body of Christ. There's a baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples to wait for the promise of the Father, and he used the term, for you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The word baptism means immersed. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, he said, not many days from now. On the day of Pentecost was the day the Holy Spirit made his entrance. It was not a one-off event. That's when he came. So we see his entrance there. And that changed everything. Changed everything for the church. Changed everything for what's going on. So this evening, I want to talk about receiving the gift. In John, the third chapter, verse 27, John the Baptist is speaking. He said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven. You can't receive unless it's been given. And what we're going to find is that we're not begging God to give us the Holy Spirit or to baptize us with the Holy Spirit, just like we're not begging God to save us. Interestingly enough, years ago, less than 100 years ago, do you know the people used to really wait and pray and tarry, what they would call tarrying, which is a biblical word for waiting. They would wait to be saved. And they would beg God to save them. Now, how many of you know we don't do that? If someone came down here to the front and they said, I've been praying for weeks that God would save me. We would hopefully you would look at them and go, oh, no, you don't need to do that. You just need to receive the salvation that's already been provided. Jesus has already paid the price. Jesus doesn't have to go to the cross again. Jesus doesn't have to be raised from the dead again. He's already done that. All you have to do is receive. But before people knew that, they would tarry and wait and pray and I'm just praying and believing for God. Well, what's happened is we've learned and we've grown and we've seen some things. And so if you've ever come thinking, man, I hope God will save me, he's already provided salvation. All you have to do is receive. It makes it so simple. So when we begin to see the Holy Spirit, I want to give you some examples tonight real quickly. So I'm going to run through some scriptures. And the first one is the Samaritan revival. The Samaritans, of course, were half-breed. They were half-Jewish, half-Gentile, like me. And they were... Matt, when we found out that I was half-Jewish, Matt started calling me a Samaritan. And but early on, they would only preach the gospel to... The apostles would only preach the gospel to Jewish. And so Philip went down into Samaria. Let's read in Acts chapter 5. I'm going to read some verses. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon was a sorcerer who had scammed them for years and probably did some occultic things and some black magic and scared the people. They thought he was a great power of God. But Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So Philip's doing miracles from God. Simon had never done miracles from God, so he was amazed. So it said that they had received the word of God and baptized. How many of you are thinking if someone said, Hey, Alan went up to Cut and Shoot and preached the gospel, and a whole bunch of people received and got baptized. Would you think God's moving in Cut and Shoot? Anybody from Cut and Shoot? God's moving. You would think, okay, so that's what they're thinking. In Samaria, God's doing some things in Samaria. He's doing things. Now listen, here's what's interesting. The people had gotten saved. The people had received. They're getting baptized. Miracles are taking place. But look what happens next. Acts chapter 8. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, may I stop right there? Were these Samaritans saved? Yes. It's not a trick question. Were they saved?
Yes.
Yeah, they had received the Word of God. They'd been baptized in Jesus' name. But when the apostles heard, so the word got back, someone sent a text to them, and they're like, whoa, the Samaritans are getting saved. They're receiving Jesus. They're getting baptized. And they sent Peter and John to them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that's interesting. So when they had laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also that anyone I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Now, here's some questions. They sent so they might receive the Holy Spirit. So this was a separate event. They were already saved. Now they sent them so they could lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Well, people say, well, Alan, I thought they received the Holy Spirit when they were born again. They were born of the Spirit. They were sealed with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lived within them. But there's a difference between being born of the Spirit and filled with. And so he filled them. They got hands laid on them, or they wouldn't have sent Peter and John. They would have said, oh, great. Samaritans are getting saved. Wrote back a text, thumbs up. But they sent them because it's a separate event. Stay with me. Saul, after his encounter, before he was the apostle Paul, he was Saul. Remember, he was an enemy of the church. This guy was bad news. I mean, he was there when they killed Stephen. He was going to Damascus to put people in prison. He would actually separate families and throw the mother and father in prison. Whatever happened to the kids, we don't know. But he's putting Christians in prison. This guy was intense. But he has an intense encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And a bright light shines on Saul. He falls to the ground. And the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul had a good answer. He said, who are you, Lord? That was smart. Who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Isn't it interesting that Jesus identified so much with his people? He said, you're not just persecuting my belief, you're persecuting me. Aren't you glad Jesus identifies with you that way? And so he said, you're persecuting me. And so Saul couldn't. He said, you need to go into the city. I'll tell you what to do. And he was blind. The Lord blinded him. And so he's sitting, he's praying. And the Lord speaks to a man named Ananias. He said, Ananias, I want you to go to this place. I want you to pray for Saul. And Ananias said, time out, Lord. This guy's a problem. He's been creating problems. And Jesus said, no, he's a chosen vessel of mine. He said, I'm going to show you how many things he must suffer for my name. And so let's see what happened with Ananias. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, laying his hands on him. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if Saul had been an enemy of the church, which he was, wouldn't the most important thing for Saul is to be saved? Thank you. Not a trick question. Wouldn't the one person gets an A. The rest of you have got to stay after school. Okay, so wouldn't the most important thing for him to be saved?
Yes.
There you go. Everyone passes. Now, here's the thing. When he goes in, he calls him Brother Saul. What does that indicate? He's already saved. You don't call someone brother I know it's like bro. No, this is not bro. This is brother, like you're now my brother in Christ. And so how many know we're a family? When you don't know someone's name, what can you call them here in church? Brother or sister. Very religious sounding, but it works. It's still the same thing. Brother Saul, he said, Jesus has sent me to lay hands on him that you might be, what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. It's separate from when he got saved. Can you see that? Samaria, they sent Peter and John to Samaria because the Samaritans had gotten saved. Now they want them filled with the Spirit. It's a separate event. And a lot of times people get upset with that. They're like, I have the Holy Spirit. No one's arguing with that. But just because you've had a drink doesn't mean you're filled. So, you still love me?
Yes.
Good, because I'm not done yet. Here we go. So Ananias laid hands on him. He said, well, nothing happened to Saul. Well, later on, Saul was the one who wrote the Corinthian church because they were pretty wild and woolly about gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. He said, I speak with tongues more than all of you. So obviously something happened to Saul. Let's talk about Peter being sent to the Gentiles. This is Acts. The book of Acts mentions the Holy Spirit over 50 times. So anyone mentioned that much has got to be important. So Peter was sent to the Gentiles. You remember that they could deal with the Samaritans because the Samaritans were close by, but the Gentiles, no, salvation's not for the Gentiles. But Peter is sent to a Roman centurion by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius was a godly man. He loved God. He prayed. He gave alms. He was a godly man. And an angel shows up to him and said, send for Peter. Angels can't preach the gospel. Only men can preach the gospel. Right now in the Middle East, there are miracles happening and people are receiving visions left and right. And the visions are typically of Jesus or an angel, but they're always pointing to someone else has to share the gospel with them. So it's not them getting saved just simply because of vision, but they see a vision, they don't even know who it is, and it's Jesus telling them how to get saved. And by the way, they are getting saved in the Middle East. They're getting saved all over the place, and so this is good stuff. But so Cornelius sends for Peter. Peter had a vision. Peter shows up. Peter starts preaching the gospel, and I want you to see the progression here. So Peter is preaching the gospel to these, and so Cornelius is there, bunch of Gentiles. They're all listening to Peter, and here's what happened. He gets down to the end. He said to him, verse 43, To him, he's talking about is Jesus. So he's preached Jesus already. He said, to him, all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission or forgiveness of sins. How many of you know that only in Jesus do we receive forgiveness of sins? He's the one that we receive. So he preached that. So when he said that, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. He told them what they needed to do. He said, everyone that believes receives forgiveness of sins. And that's all these Gentiles needed. They're like, I'm in. They believe, the Holy Spirit fell, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter because of the what? Gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Well, how did they know that? For, because they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. All the Gentiles ought to be real happy about this. Because this is how the word began to spread to the Gentiles. It had to get into the Gentile church because the Jews weren't going to do this. And so now Peter is preaching, and one of the evidences that Jesus was believed on and Jesus had granted remission of sins to the Gentiles is they believed, and then they heard, and then the Holy Spirit fell on them, they began to speak with tongues. Someone said, I don't know about that. No, that's what Peter said. Peter, they're all astonished. They're going, oh, that's what we had. They recognized it. That's what happened to us at Pentecost. And a revelation hit. They're like, oh my gosh, Jesus is for the Gentiles too. Aren't you glad? He's for everyone. But they knew it because they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. One more time. Paul at Ephesus. Acts the 19th chapter. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. Finding some disciples, he said to them, now check this out. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Why would he ask that? If it was automatic, why would you even ask that question? I notice no one's venturing an answer. So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." He said to them, "What were you baptized?" They said, "John's baptism." And Paul said, "Well, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." Now, stop right there. These guys were disciples, but when Paul started talking to them, he's like, "Did you guys receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" It's a good question. And they went, "What's the Holy Spirit?" He said, "What do you baptize in?" He said, "John's baptism, John the Baptist, baptism of repentance." He said, "Oh, well, John was pointing to Jesus." So he preached Jesus to them. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. How many of you believe these disciples made the shift from the baptism of John to receiving Jesus as Lord? And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied when Paul laid hands on them. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen, let's say, for example, you brought someone tonight that you've been trying to reach, and at the end of the service, they look at you and go, "Man, I want to come. I want to get saved." You're going to look at them and go, "Okay, here's what you do. You need to go down to the front, and Alan's going to lay hands on you, and you'll get saved." Would y'all tell them that? Would you tell them, "Well, Alan's got to lay hands on you, or it ain't going to happen"? That's not right, is it?
No.
You'd say, "No, here's what you do. You pray. You say this prayer. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God?" "Yeah." "Do you believe God raised him from the dead?" "Yeah." "Well, you just need to confess him as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to wait. You don't have to get hands laid on you. None of that." That's what Paul did. He said, "You guys need to believe in Jesus." And after they believed in Jesus, then he laid hands on them. Why? That they might receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the immersion in the Holy Spirit. Can you see that?
Amen.
That's four witnesses. He said, "Well, they spoke with tongues." Like, "Alan, I'm great for the Holy Spirit. I just don't want that tongues. It's kind of like buying a pair of shoes. Tongues come with it." Now, I will say this. I will tell you this right off the bat. There are many people who have prayed for the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has come on them and baptized them. They have never spoken with tongues because they just haven't yielded to him. In other words, they could. But a lot of times, you pray for people, and they'll just go. The Holy Spirit's not going to grab you, open your mouth, and make you talk. He's not going to talk through you. You're going to have to do the speaking. So there's a lot of you who've prayed for the Holy Spirit. You just never have released it in tongues. Here's what I suggest. And we're going to pray tonight. And if you're like, "Well, I didn't get anything," don't do that. Go home and say, "Lord, thank you that you baptized me with the Holy Spirit." And when you get by yourself in your room, say, "I dedicate everything that comes out of my mouth to you and let her rip." And go. So don't get caught up in that. But why the controversy? Why is there controversy about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in tongues? First thing, do you think Satan wants believers with more power? No. So he's going to cause division there. Number two, the belief that the supernatural has passed away. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Here's a verse people have made a doctrine out of. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away. And people jump on this and say, "Well, see, tongues will cease." But knowledge hasn't ceased. And prophecies, there's still prophecies that have not come to pass yet. How about the one where Jesus is coming back to receive us? That is a prophecy that's not failing. So you can't just take one thing out and go, "This doesn't work anymore. It hasn't passed away." But the day of miracles have passed away. Where's that scripture? There's not a scripture for that because the God of miracles has never changed. And so, and listen, I don't know about you, but if God still does miracles, I'm a candidate. If God gives out gifts, I'm a candidate. If the gift of the Holy Spirit is available, I'm a candidate, and all you have to do is receive. Matt, stand up just for a second. This is a $10 bill. Thank you. You're welcome. What did he do? He just received it. I handed it to him. He received it. I knew he'd take it. $10 will buy you half a meal at Chick-fil-A. By the way, happy birthday. Don't look for anything else. It is his birthday, too, huh? Oh. Okay. He couldn't receive it unless I gave it. I gave it, he received it. Holy Spirit's given, all you have to do is receive. The belief that the supernatural has passed away, it hasn't. Here's one thing. I think people are afraid of losing control. People say, Alan, if I get baptized with the Holy Spirit and I speak in tongues, I'm going to be at a family gathering. Someone's going to ask me just to say the blessing. And I'm going to bust out in tongues at the blessing. I'm just going to lose control. Real quick, I was training a guy. We were standing in a bank. I sold a check printer. We're standing in a bank. And we were just talking, waiting to talk to the account executive there. And he was this big, blustery guy. He said, yeah. He said, my wife's grandmother, one of them crazy holy rollers, just gives half her money to Pat Robinson and says, crazy holy roller. I'd had enough of this guy. So we're standing in the middle of the bank. I said, Larry, you don't know this, but I'm one of those holy rollers, too. And then I got this look in my eyes. I'm like, in fact, I feel a spell coming on right now. He's about ready to crawl under the chair. I have been in business meetings. I've been in high-level business meetings. I've never had the Holy Spirit come on me and make me uncontrollably speak in tongues. Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. He's not going to make you do something you don't want to do. You will not lose control. You've been in here for years. You've never heard us lose control. Like I said, we're a Spirit-filled church with a seatbelt. We don't go crazy up in here. But the thing about it is you have control over that. So you're not going to lose control. It's not going to make it happen. So here's the last one. Here's the blessing and the privilege, and I'll close with this. It is a blessing and a privilege. You speak directly to God, not to man. This is all out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. They're not mysteries to God, but they're directly to him. You build yourself up spiritually. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies or builds himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. You're speaking in tongues, you build yourself up spiritually. Now listen, this is real key. I've been filled with the Spirit now for 45 years. I will venture to say there's not a day that's gone by that I haven't prayed in the Spirit. And what it does is it helped me. Some of you never knew that. Some of you are like, really? You hadn't seen me roll. There's no snakes up here. This is not making you weird. The Holy Spirit will not make you weird. You might know some weird Spirit-filled people. They were weird before they were filled with the Spirit. He did not make them weird. But here's the deal. It builds you up spiritually. Now, as a pastor, let me just tell you this. I wish every one of you was Spirit-filled. Now, we're not going to disown you if you don't want to be Spirit-filled. That's not what we're about. I wish you were because I know what it will do for you. And I know how much it will help you, and it will build you up. Here's the last one. You pray beyond your understanding. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So I'm not going to understand everything I'm praying. What's the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. I pray in the Spirit. Oh, you're talking about adding to your prayer life. Some of you have a hard time praying for 5 minutes. Praying in the Spirit, I can pray for hours. So I don't want to pray for hours. We don't have to. But wouldn't it be nice to be able to? and pray beyond your understanding. It's a big church. I don't know all of you, but the Holy Spirit does. And when I pray, I can pray and I'm praying in the unknown tongue. But I don't know what I'm praying, but I'm praying for you guys. And see, back me up. I got a heavenly amen on that. We're going to dismiss. Go ahead and stand to your feet if you would. We're going to dismiss because we're going to pray for the people who would like, if you would like to stay and receive a prayer. We're going to do it real gentle. In fact, we're going to cut the streaming. We're not going to stream. This is not a show. This is something to help. Pray this prayer with me out loud. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.